The biggest question that was on everyone's mind last May, and I was sitting in this room where you are right now at the 32nd annual UT Tech Law Conference on May 25th when it went into effect, with clients emailing me, you've got to fix our privacy policy today by midnight. So how many of you got at least 25 privacy policies on May 25th of last year? Like, right? So this was over. It was overkill. There were so many people who didn't know how to manage the requirements of the GDPR. They were saying, okay, would you consent? Are you going to opt in? Are you going to do this or that? So the good news is, as we know now, these email rules apply to everybody. If you're marketing to people in the EU, period, regardless of whether the GDPR applies to you, the one thing I will tell you is that if you had a consent that complied with the GDPR prior to May 25 of last year, you didn't have to do anything, and you don't have to do anything. You don't have to get people to re-opt in to receiving communications from you. But that's exactly what happened. And probably from Y2K to 2018, many companies lost 18 years worth of treasure data related to how to market to constituents because many people didn't opt in. So that's the key thing that, from a business standpoint, thinking along with you as your business partner, unless you have to request someone to opt in, don't, because they're not. People are sick of email marketing. They now go to Instagram, they go to Facebook, they go to LinkedIn. A lot of the multimedia marketing channels are a lot more effective. So that's just a caveat. If you know, that's something that you can always ask someone, if my, you know, is my opt-in procedures compliant? Are my opt-in procedures compliant with both European privacy laws and the U.S. privacy laws? In many cases, there's overlap, which we'll see right now. So the main point that is driven by GDPR, and I guarantee you it's going to be in an American law, is that express consent is required for all communications. It won't any longer be allowed that someone says, by clicking this box, you consent to our privacy policy. There has to be express language that tells the consumer and your constituent and donor what they're opting into and what they're consenting to. So here's a good, and these materials are available to you. So here's a good example of how you can comply with that requirement of getting express consent and have it broken down by all the various streams of communication that you're using to communicate with the donor and other populations you're talking to. So you can either have that be a click-through in an email or be in the body of the email. Either way, there's no required format for this. The only requirement is that the consent has to be informed and expressed now. So if you have, yes, sir, question. If they don't respond to the email, then it's, there's not any real guidance on that. That's a good question. If they haven't opted in, then we know probably they haven't opted in. But if they also have said not said no, I think one of the things one of our clients did, which is a global client, said if there was no response, it's similar to UnderCOPPA, if there's no response within 10 days, you delete their email address. 10 business days, because often people are not in the office or not checking their email. But that's a rule that is used under COPPA as well, the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. When you have to get consent from a parent by sending the parent an email, if the parent doesn't respond within 10 days, you have to delete the email. So it's a good rule of thumb. There, you know, depending on how large your population is, your email population, and whether you've classified it and broken it down by U.S. or EU, you may want to segregate so that you can keep up with the various opt-ins or opt-outs until the U.S. law is aligned with the EU law. That is completely optional. It depends on how much of a headache it is right now to try to keep it separate. But if it's not a problem, then you don't disregard, you know, this particular suggestion. This is the point I made a little earlier. To opt in and to get re-opt in, people were actually sending two opt-ins, like, and believed that two opt-ins was necessary. That is the case in the U.S. for texting. We're, you know, not going to focus a whole lot today on texting, but you do have a call to action by text under the TCPA, and once the person agrees or says yes, then you send another email to confirm that they, yes, have agreed to text communications using their telephone number. But under the GDPR and emails, it is not required to do double opt-ins, if that makes sense.